How's that? All right. Well, now I know you're lying. I wanted to start tonight just by saying thank you. I know that for the last few weeks, six or seven, we've been going through a video series in the evening, and I know that that's different. But I just wanted to say thank you for me to have several weeks in a row where I'm preparing one sermon instead of two. It's actually a significant amount of time I could spend on some of the other things that were often being left undone. And also, simply just for me, it's actually really rare that I get to sit under good preaching, and so for me to be able to do that for the last few weeks was good for my soul. So, thank you for your forbearance, I guess is what I'm saying. While you have me speaking for you on Sunday evenings this year, we're going to take a look at some of the parables of Jesus. They are sort of short, sharp teachings of Jesus. They are short stories that he made up in order to bring his teaching more into the everyday lives of his hearers, to pack a greater punch, to make a greater impact, both on their ability to understand it and in their desire to hear what he's saying and to respond to it, to follow him. Tonight we're going to start with two very tiny little parables that are back-to-back in Matthew's gospel. And we're going to do two because they're connected, because they're small, but Jesus makes clear that they're making the same point. So tonight, we're going to talk about the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. So that's in Matthew chapter 13, and I'll invite you to turn there. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, stories are powerful things. There is something in us that responds to them, particularly when they tell us something that is true. Something that's true in our story, something that's true in your interactions with your world. Something that points us to the one true great story of your redemptive activity in your creation. So, Father, help us to be filled with wonder at the stories of Jesus. To hear him tell small stories and to hear great big truths inside of them. To be willing to be taught through our teacher, telling us little tales that point us towards you and your kingdom. So we pray, do that tonight. Open up your word to us. And in these two small stories, show us the great value of your kingdom. A value that is greater than any other thing that might lay claim to us in this life. So through these stories tonight, Father, if nothing else, help us to loosen our grip on the other things that want our attention, want our devotion in this life, and to fix our gaze on the great value of possessing the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to take a look at the parables themselves, and then we're going to talk about the point, what Jesus is trying to tell us through those parables. So let's read them again. They're so short. First, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the first story is of a man, probably a servant, who's working as a hired hand in a field that's owned by someone else. And as he's tilling, as he's planting, whatever it is that he's been hired to do, he comes across this great treasure that's buried in the ground. And so what he does is he covers it back up, and he goes and he sells everything that he owns, and then he buys this field. Which seems like a strange story until we know at least a little bit about how sort of rabbinic law worked in Israel at the time. So under rabbinic law, and there was actually case law for this sort of thing, if a servant finds a treasure in a piece of land that belongs to his master, and then he uncovers it and takes it out, then it will belong to his master. He's found something that he's uncovered something that's a part of his part of the property of his master. It belongs to the owner of the field. So in Jesus' story, by covering it over and leaving it where it is, it's not yet to be presented to the owner of the field. He can go and sell everything that he has and come back and buy the field, and then as the owner of the field, that treasure becomes his. Okay. So it's a story about a man who finds something of incredibly great value and so goes and sells everything else that he has so that he can possess this one thing that he's found. The second parable goes like this. Again, and Jesus is telling us that there's this connection between the two, right? Again, just like I just said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay? So the second picture is kind of the same as the first one, but slightly different. You have a merchant whose job it is to go about searching through the marketplaces for things of particular value that then can be resold at a profit. Only he finds something here of great, great value, one particular pearl of greater value than he's ever seen before. And so he goes and he sells everything that is his so that he can come back and possess this one item of surpassing value. And so both stories essentially tell us the same story of a person who comes across something that is of immeasurable value and so gives up everything else that they have so that they can possess this one thing. Okay, those are the parables, the hidden field, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. So here's the point. Here's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples about the kingdom of God. Here's what he's trying to tell us, that it's worth it to give up everything to attain what is of the greatest value. And Jesus tells us that's the kingdom of heaven. In verse 44, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And again, in verse 45, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. One of the commentators on this passage, D.A. Carson, put it this way. The kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. Carson gets it right. These two parables are about how what discipleship will cost you, how what following Jesus will cost you, is worth the treasure gained in the kingdom of God. You can't buy the kingdom. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's bought by the blood of Jesus. You take hold of it by faith and faith alone. But living in the kingdom, knowing that what we have through Jesus is of great value, and so wanting to believe in him and follow him and obey him, living in the kingdom, following Jesus, that will cost you something. Jesus says so in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read Luke 4, 25 through 33. Oh, that can't be right. I have written down Luke 4, 25 to 33, and that's not at all the right citation. So let me tell you what we're talking about here. Jesus says, unless you hate father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. He says, unless you daily take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. There is it Luke 14? I forgot a one. Okay, let's read there then. Where would we be without you guys? We'd be stuck back in chapter 4. Luke 14, 25 to 33. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So Jesus says this, and in his parables in Matthew 13, he has these two characters in his two parables giving away everything that they have, abandoning all that they have, so that they can attain that which is of the greatest price. Jesus talks about counting the cost of your discipleship, of recognizing that there will come times when things that hold your affections, when things that matter to you and that are important to you will come into conflict with following Jesus, will come into conflict with what Jesus commands, will come into conflict with obedience. And Jesus says, discipleship means giving up the things that are of lesser value than the kingdom of God. And he says it's worth it because what you have is of so much greater value. We know that following Jesus means that all of our lives is open to Jesus' commands. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our desires, our hopes, our finances, our sexuality, our appetites, our loves. And if you believe in Jesus, I'm willing to bet you're okay with that. You'd agree with that. But let me ask this. What's the thing that you hope Jesus will never ask you to give up, to renounce? All of us have corners of our lives that we don't want Jesus to touch. And the only way those hopes fade, the only way we are eventually willing to let them go, is if we can grasp just how great the treasure is that we have in Christ. Love, forgiveness for our sins, growth into the likeness of Jesus, and an eternal home in a world made new without sin or sickness or death, a life in the presence of the Lord Jesus. When we find that, when we hear that such a place exists, that such a thing can be had, we ought to be happy to sell everything else, to renounce whatever needs renouncing because of the incalculable worth of Jesus, because of the great value, the great price of what we have through him. I know that there are things that we don't want to have to give up. I know there are things that we hope that he will never ask us to let go. And I imagine when I ask that question, something comes into your minds. Compare the value of those things to what you have in Jesus Christ, what you have in the gospel, and what you have in the kingdom of God. Meditate on how good it is and how great the value is of what you have in the gospel, of what you have in the kingdom. I promise you, maybe not right away, but over time, your desires will begin to be set on that pearl of great value. And when that's the case, if and when the time comes, we'll be able to let those other things go, because what we have is so much more valuable. Let's pray. Father, show us the surpassing value of the kingdom of God. That it is worth giving up everything else to have it. Help us to hold loosely to the other things that want our allegiances, that want our hearts, to let them go and to hold fast the great value of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. In his name we ask. Amen. Let's stand and